Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you all to the winsome Eric Zorn. He, of course, a frequent contributor to our show and a writer for your Chicago Tribune. Hello, winsome Eric.
Hello, winsome Bill and winsome Wendy.
Isn't the winsome business lunch coming up?
Yes, it is.
Wintrust. Oh,
yes, it is. In just 20 short minutes.
We would probably get better ratings if they called it the winsome business lunch.
You've chosen that as your adjective today because why now?
Well, it just means cheerful, boyish, enthusiastic.
All things that you are.
Well, you're that too, Bill.
That's very kind of
you. I'm kind of trying to preempt him. I wanted to be more winsome than Bill. That's really hard to do. Very hard, very hard.
It's hard for a kid to be more winsome
sure
than
it
Bill
is.
Left.
Of course it is. Wendy and I had a discussion on the show on Friday, and some people were extremely upset about this discussion, and you wanted to kind of piggyback off it a little bit, and that's about the Oscars.
Well, I heard Wendy's point that she was wondering, well, why is it that we have a category for actresses and actors
right.
in the Academy Awards. Like,
why do they separate?
If they don't have a best female director, they don't have so it's a very strange thing that they separate that out. You know, my guess is that they did that at the beginning in part just to increase interest, right?
Right.
To make sure. So if you have like five acting things, you wouldn't have to split them three and two or whatever, that you want to balance it out. My bigger question, though, and of course the background for this conversation had to do with the fact that there are no black actors in the best acting or best supporting acting
right.
Categories in either
or
gender.
Directing or film. So we were trying to figure out, what do you do about this? When you're voting for these things, if you're a member of the Academy, do you say, wow, everybody's white in this, we really need more diversity? Or do you do what you're supposed to do, which is to say who were the best?
Well, as a voter, do you do that? As each individual voter,
right?
Are they the ones who are tasked with making that decision?
Right.
And there was a study that I saw referenced online that UCLA studied Hollywood films that basically three out of four characters in the top 100 movies of 2014 were all white.
Yeah.
So it's not just black people, but it's also Latinos, anybody else of color
mm-hmm.
gets stiffed in this. So that you have a very small percentage of actors who are in the running. So
and the Academy is really heavily white.
Right.
It's not very
But isn't the president a woman, and isn't she African-American or black? I don't know what is the proper term.
I think that's right. I guess the question you had, though, is should they put their thumb on the scale somehow? Or
yeah.
should each individual voter do that? You know, obviously the problem is if you're being, you know, high-minded, you say the problem has to begin with the studio heads who are deciding what movies to make, and then the casting directors deciding who to put into these roles, because clearly there are African-American actors and actresses who are
without
tremendously
a doubt.
Talented.
Without a doubt.
And so they're not getting the roles, so they're not in the position. So that someone who's looking at that saying, well, gee, was Will Smith that good
yeah.
in this movie, or would I just be tokenism to vote for him?
In all honesty, I have seen Will Smith in the movie you're talking about, Concussion,
yeah.
and he's really, really, really good in it. But we read out the five nominees for Best Actors, and all five of those actors were really good.
And were they better than he was? Because
how do you compare?
They were on par. You know,
don't you see a movie and say, boy, that was some great acting?
Yes.
That's how you tell it. If you're voting, you have the right to determine whether they did the role well, and it's regardless of their color.
To his credit, it took me no time at all to forget that was Will Smith. He's playing, it's a true story, and he's playing an African doctor who figured out that there is a definite relevance between guys playing pro football and having concussions that ruin their lives.
Because it was hard to believe that someone had to figure that out. But you know.
That's amazing to me, too.
What, you got bashed on the head thousands of times
right.
and it affected your life?
Right.
Wow, how did that happen?
So now what's happened in the interim is there are some black actors who have suggested that a boycott is in place for the Academy Awards, saying, why
Spike
should we
Lee.
Honor them? Spike Lee among them.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett Smith.
She's also among them. And
he's going to hire more seat fillers, right?
right. And then theater. Chris Rock, who is hosting the awards over the weekend.
Is he still hosting it?
He's still hosting, but he sent out a tweet that a lot of people are very upset about where he said, watch me on the Academy Awards. It's the white BET Awards. And people are going, hey, what are you doing? Don't call attention to this.
Oh,
we get it.
Oh, that's going to be his whole routine.
Yeah,
sure.
A lot of it's going
to
be there.
An incredible year for Chris Rock to be the host. Because
yeah.
you know, if it were... You know, Jimmy Kimmel or something.
Right.
He would make a couple
Another
of little
whitey.
Jokes and then
yeah.
he'd move on. But
can
no.
I make a statement? Because
we got
a bunch of texts and a Facebook message that really hit home to me. That you shouldn't pick like, oh, who was the best black actor? You should pick who was the best actor.
Sure.
But someone said the bottom line is the problem is there are not roles for these people
exactly
of ethnicity.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that the problem is not the voters. I think the problem is who they're getting to vote or who's on the ballot, who's eligible. And how many roles were there? There was Michael B. Jordan and Will Smith, and there's one other, and I'm blanking out. But
somebody on Huffington Post put out 9 black actors or actresses that definitely should have been nominated, and I had only seen a third of the movies. But in all the cases, the ones that I saw, I went, you could easily make the argument
make
for him
case.
Or her.
Well, here's another question for you that broadens this out. Why do we have these acting and acting categories, but we don't separate them into comedy and drama? That
they don't on the Academy Awards. They do with other award
they
shows.
They do, right. The Golden Globes do that. Yeah. But it seems to me that acting and comedy is a very different challenge. And in fact, even the films themselves, it's a very different challenge for the producers, the directors, everybody else. That those distinctions, to me, are much more important and interesting than the gender categories that they create.
Agreed.
Right. But I would love to see them have, like, best actor in a comedy. And then you might – then there would be more nominees to go around. And
right.
You'd probably have more different diversity.
But then you have people who complain about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame too, is why is NWA in there? Is that really rock and roll? So it gets diluted anywhere you look.
Well, rock and roll, it seems to me that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a rock and roll is an umbrella term for basically popular music, right?
It's for the purpose of the award it
right,
has.
You can't say, well, that's hip hop, that's not rock and roll, because it all falls into that larger term, I would think.
Well, but doesn't this fall into that umbrella too of acting, where they're not getting these little subcategories?
Well, but they do. They do have these subcategories. I mean, the only real subcategories they have, or they don't have, like, best female costume designer, best male costume designer. The only place they do that is with acting, and it does seem to me that a very key distinction between comedy and drama,
right,
in terms of, like, the challenges that it poses for an actor. And it turns out that how many comedy actors and actresses ever win, because they tend to be
hardly
the winners
ever.
Tend to be these ones, these big scenery chewing movies,
right,
where, you know,
right.
I'm playing a one-legged man with AIDS who is you know, had to crawl across the country. And
the other thing
what
is,
movie is that
Wendy wants to
my
see
movie
that movie.
Year,
the movie you're thinking of is that everybody complains about the length of the awards, and if they added 4 or 6 more categories, then you got another half hour or 45 minutes.
Yes, you could easily dispense with some of the lesser awards. I think the model for award shows is the Grammys. I mean, they just have just the top awards they give out, the Grammys, and then they run a crawl at the bottom.
Of who else won?
Best folk music album. You
know, it's quick. Eric Zorn is here, and he's as winsome as he's ever been. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN. There's a lot of letters in that.
A lot of them.
A lot of letters.
Can I read you a text that we got? We were talking about the Academy Awards and no black actors or actresses nominated for awards, directors, nothing.
Right.
Somebody, 773, what about the BET Awards, which you said Chris Rock mentioned?
He called the Academy Awards the white BET Awards.
Okay, Black Entertainment Television Awards. They give awards for best movie, actors, etc. There are no whites or other ethnic groups getting awards. I don't hear there were no Chinese or Hungarians that got any awards. Why does it always have to be a black or white thing? That's true. There's no Latino people that are up for awards, are there?
The director
Asian
of
people?
The Revenant is of Hispanic descent, so he's, I think, the only one in any of the major categories that's been nominated.
But
this
no
year.
One said, let's nominate him because he's Hispanic.
Right.
They said, because look at this movie.
Right.
It's a tough situation when you want to try to increase diversity, but it's not coming from the top, right? And when you have something that's ostensibly democratic, like a vote, it's difficult to impose it at these lower levels when they're making the decision. It has to come from the studio heads, from the casting directors, and so on out there.
True. Can we talk a little bit about last night's Democratic debate? It did not get all the attention that the Republican debate
got. Right, because
got.
It's on a Sunday and a 3-day weekend. But,
right.
You know, they've hidden all their debates.
Let's bury it.
Yeah, they've been on Saturday nights and stuff. And this was a strategy, deliberate strategy, that the Democratic National Committee had advanced, because they thought that it would be better to keep a low profile while the Republican candidates all kind of consumed one another in these more high-profile debates. I think it was a mistake, because Hillary Clinton does pretty well in these debates.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I thought, watching it last night, I thought that Bernie Sanders did very well. better than I'd seen him do before. I thought he really was strong. He articulated his vision for the future, and he drew some blood in terms of the blows that he landed on Hillary Clinton.
Can't help but think of Larry David every time I hear him speak. I know because
Larry did it on SNL.
But oh my God, I just can't get past that. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
No, it's probably a bad thing. They've said that President Ford, Gerald Ford, was actually hurt by the
Chevy Chase's impression.
Chevy Chase, who doesn't even look anything like him.
I know.
But he just kept stumbling and falling down. But.
There was a moment during the debate last night where they asked Hillary Clinton why Bernie Sanders is leading overwhelmingly with younger people, with teenagers and people in their early 20s. And my daughter Kylie actually pointed out the reason to me, which I hadn't even thought about. Do you know why it is?
That he reminds them of their grandparents. I don't. Their generous grandparents.
I guess he's a big proponent to have marijuana legalized, and that there's a faction of the country who go, "Hey, that's the guy that really is pushing for that. We should stand behind him." Could that possibly be true?
That's probably part of it, but it's more that he is more of a radical than she is. And when you're younger, you tend to have more radical visions of how society ought to be.
Right.
He wants single payer health care. That tends to be something that younger, more liberal people are really enthusiastic about. He wants free college tuition at public universities for everybody. And that's something that really resonates, I think, with younger people, with student age people. The kinds of reforms that he's talking about are things that are more appealing to younger voters.
What changed about this? There was a time where if you called one of the candidates a socialist, they would deny it vehemently. I'm not a socialist. They did to him yesterday, and he said, yeah, I am.
Well, he's a democratic socialist. He's someone who is more like some of these European countries that are not literally state controlled, but a lot of the aspects of their economies are state controlled. For instance, the healthcare sector.
Yeah,
and he's articulating this vision that he wants there to be, single payer. He wants the government basically to act as an insurance company and pay for healthcare. Medicare for all is the sort of shorthand way of doing it, or Medicaid for all, mm-hmm. is the way to look at it. And so, when you're advancing that kind of agenda, you're going to be, appealing to these younger demographics, I think. And yeah, go ahead.
The three candidates that I saw last night were far more civil toward each other than we see on the Republican side. Will that continue, or at some point will they really start to break that up?
I don't think this race is going to go on that much longer. I think we have probably until the South Carolina primary, which is the middle of toward the end of February. There are four events in February. There's the Nevada caucuses, Iowa caucuses, New Hampshire primary, and South Carolina primary. I don't think that Hillary Clinton is going to lose South Carolina. She might well lose Iowa and New Hampshire, which is going to hurt her momentum. But I don't think that Sanders has the momentum or right now the appeal to minority voters to have him succeed in what's called the SEC primary, the southern states that are very prominent in the in Super Tuesday, which is March 1st, I think.
That is super.
It is very super. Well, there are, I think, 12 primaries or caucuses on that day, and it's a big day. It requires a lot of organization. Hillary Clinton has the backing of the party. Mm-hmm. Just about every major elected Democrat is behind her, and she's got a lot better organization, what they call a ground game in terms of getting the vote out and so on. So I would look for this race to go on for another month. I don't think that they're going to get really nasty to each other. Sanders has pledged not to run any negative commercials, and he's right up to the edge right now with some of the stuff that he's doing. But he is talking about some of the things in a very passionate, powerful way that is, it animates the base voters of that party. Mm-hmm. And we talk about the word socialist. They did a poll in Iowa recently, and something like 45% of the voters describe themselves that way or are okay with the term.
Yeah.
That it's not quite as poisonous a term in the Democratic election.
Isn't that something? Because for a long time, that was one of those words that just sunk your ship.
But it still might be in the general election. Can you imagine? I can imagine the commercials that the Republicans are going to run against the nominee Bernie Sanders, which would have to do with, here's this guy. He's this 74-year-old guy from New York with his New York values who calls himself a socialist. And that doesn't play that well
in the rest of the country.
And some of the Republicans I've talked to said they expect 50 states to win all 50 states if Sanders is a nominee. I don't know. The other possibility is if you do get these really polarized nominees, if you get a Bernie Sanders on one side and you get a a Ted Cruz or a Donald Trump on the Republican side, that kind of opens the door for someone to come right down the middle. And that people talk about New York, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who is a Republican turned Democrat or Democrat turned Republican. He's one of those guys who's really right in the middle. Someone who's so much in the middle that he would have no chance whatsoever in any, either party's primary system, where the base voters animate you. But when you come to a general election, you've got someone who's like, look, I'm not a kook like these people. I've
So Nixon used to say, I'm not a crook. The new buzz phrase, I am not a kook.
That's what might be a real selling point. So, I mean, I think it's these next couple of weeks are going to be very interesting. But I think in a month or so from now, we're going to really see it start to shake out. So
thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week. It's Eric Zorn. He's winsome as always. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.